you, Jeremy. Praise God. Wow, what a great worship service this morning. I really appreciate the worship team. I felt the Spirit of the Lord telling me, there's no heart I cannot mend. No heart I cannot mend. And I felt like there was disappointment in some ones where the Lord spoke to me, said that the enemy of your soul has arranged for you to be disappointed in me. But I didn't disappoint you. It was your own fear, your own failure. If you trust and believe, I'm just telling you what the Lord told me. He says, I'm not the God who disappoints. Your disappointment is created by false expectation of people being different than they are. That people are just people. And when people are people, they hurt you. Wounds come, things happen. And God says, give me another opportunity in your life. And I'll bring you out of despair. I'll bring you out of disappointment. I'll bring you into a life you've never imagined before, beyond your wildest dreams. I think, Jeremy, I can identify with living the life beyond your wildest dreams. It's like things are happening in our lives that we've never dreamed possible. Belinda and I are living the life we've never dreamed possible, either one of us. God's a good God, and he's here today to heal your heart. If you want to, you can put your hand on your heart. Father, I just thank you for the healing of broken hearts, of disappointments, that the sufferings of this life are not to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. And I thank you, Lord, there's a glory right now coming to each life to demonstrate the goodness of God and bring us into your presence in a new and exciting way that we've never dreamed of before. You are a wonderful, mighty God, and we worship you today for what you're now doing in our hearts. Amen. God will speak to you in dreams too. Some of you are dreamers. God told me this morning, I'm opening the minds and hearts of my people to see and hear and know at a new level in this season of your life. Amen. You can turn with me if you like to John 10:10. I know that's a scripture you know, but I'm going to start there. If I had a title this message, I'd call it The American War of Independence 2019. I think there's a war going on, and I think it's about freedom. It's about independence, and there's a fight for our freedom. And I think it's going on now, and I think the Lord's like helping us get some backbone about us to win this war that's going on. John 10:10 says, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So, Father, I just thank you for the next few minutes to share something from the heart of God and from the throne, the thought from the throne that you have for your people today. And we just bless your people with an understanding and a comprehension of what it is you're trying to convey to us today through your word. And I ask you, Lord, that you work that same miracle you always do. You cause ones behind this pulpit to, as lips of clay, to speak the oracles of God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. There's a little echo up here. I don't know if you can twist that back a little bit and help me out. It'd be great. Well, the Son of God's very clear right here in John 10:10. He's very clear explaining that everything that brings destruction and death is from the devil. It's very clear theology. And that includes people who cooperate with the lies and deceptions of the devil. And conversely, he shows that all things that bring life are from the Lord Jesus Christ, from him. He says, I've come that they might have life. He's talking about the God kind of life, the Zoe life, the more abundant life, a life that's growing and fruitful and When revelation of truth comes, when Jesus comes, he is the Word of God after all. He is the way, the truth, and the light. When the truth comes to us, pardon me, he said in John 8, 31 and 32, to those who believe in me, he said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. People who are free in their hearts and minds because they know the truth of God will fight to be free from tyranny. The word of God first makes you free, and then you fight to actually be free. If you follow Jesus much, you'll know that you're in bondage. He gives you an idea, a thought from the throne that you're free, and suddenly you begin to shake off that has bound you, and you walk into the freedom that he announces is for you. Free from lies and the people who lie to you and try to bind you and me through ungodly beliefs and practices. And it'll also free you from laws that violate the God-given right to be free. I believe in the Declaration of Independence. I believe in a Constitution of the United States. I believe we have a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. How about you? And the famous patriot Patrick Henry, he was trying to get up an army in Virginia, and he was addressing a group of people that he was trying to get them to agree with him that, you know, it's about March of 1775. They had a meeting there, and he's saying, hey, look, this tyranny of this crown is really putting us in a bind. We're going to have to do something here. And he said, I think we need an armed militia. And a bunch of politicians there said, now, oh, wait, Patrick, Brother Henry, you need to settle down, boy. You need to back off here. You need to be quiet. You need to endure this tyranny a little longer. You know, be a good, quiet, silent. And Patrick Henry said, give me liberty or give me death. And that kind of woke people up, and they got a militia together. And a lot of what he heard during that time came from the pulpits of America. It was called the Black Robe Regiment. It was preachers who looked at the Bible and looked at what the king was pouring into the country, and he said, this is not right. You have a right to freedom. And the preachers oftentimes would preach and then lead their men out to battle. They weren't the mamby-pamby preachers that we have today. These were guys who really understood the Word of God, understood the conviction of the hearts of men and women who really believed God, and knew why the religious people had jumped in a boat and made it all the way to the shores of America was because they wanted something different. They wanted something free. They wanted to be able to understand that government was not there to give you rights, but government was there to protect your rights. And so he was warned to be cautious and endure tyranny, and he just said, no, I'm not having any of that, and give me liberty or give me death. I took a picture of a plaque, and if I can pull it up here on my phone, I'll read it to you. It says, by signing the Declaration of Independence, the 56 Americans pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. It was no idle pledge, for 9 of the signers died of wounds during the Revolutionary War. 5 were captured or imprisoned. Wives and children were killed, jailed, and mistreated or left penniless. 12 signers' houses were burned to the ground. 17 lost everything they owned. None of these signers defected, and their honor, like their nation, remain intact. I think it's about time we give some honor to those who died so that we could stand here today and have at least the freedoms that we still have. For the love of God and for what is right, for the love of family and for what is right for them, and for the love of country and what has been sacrificed thus far for freedom, for these loves, I say, it's time to fight for freedom from tyranny of ungodliness and let freedom ring in God's righteousness and truth once again in our lives and in our land. Amen. This is what I call a Christian Citizen Sunday at Grace. You just happen to be here. We have several of these a year. And there are Sundays that we kind of launch out into important social political issues and try to inform and equip the saints of God with what God's word says about some things and encourage you to step up, step out, speak out, vote, and do what's right and influence your community and the sphere of influence around you and bring righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost to your life and the lives of those you influence. We know the Jesus culture. I hope that's our culture. How many get it when I say it's the Jesus culture? The Word of God culture. The culture that says God's Word is what we base things on. The Jesus culture is, in fact, the counterculture against the worldly culture of death around us. Jesus said it clear. The thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. I'm come that you might have life and more abundantly. The Jesus culture is about life. The Antichrist culture is about death. And his view, Jesus' view of who brings life and death is very clear. And I like what he said in Matthew 11:12 in the Passion Translation. My wife Belinda's got me going on the Passion Translation. But Matthew 11:12 says this in the Passion. From the moment John stepped on the scene, talking about John the Baptist, right, came to prepare the way of the Lord. From the moment John stepped on the scene, the realm of heaven's kingdom is bursting forth, and passionate people have taken hold of its power. Did you know the truth has power? Yes. Telling the truth has power. Standing for the truth has power. And getting rid of the baloney and going with the truth is the way we're going to win in the arena of ideas. And again in Matthew 28, the Lord says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and baptize and teach the nations how to observe everything I've commanded of you. He says, you ought to disciple nations. He says the church has a role in the nation to stand up with the word of God and say what's what. We have that authority. We've been given that authority. And he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. The devil has no power except the power of darkness, the power to lie. And when people believe a lie, they become confused and foolish. And that's where you end up in death and destruction. So Jesus says on a couple of occasions, it's going to take some muscle. It's going to take some backbone. It's going to take some speaking out. It's going to take some pressure to intervene and to have a divine turnaround in your nation. And he says in Matthew 16:18, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. There's no place the church cannot go and break down lies and deception and confusion and foolishness and death and destruction and bring life. There's no place we cannot go. The world will be telling us like they tried to tell Patrick Henry, be quiet and sit down. Be nice little Christians and don't raise a ruffle. And I say to them, give me liberty or give me death. We want to always begin and end these socio-political discussions with the Bible and try to stay in a context of a biblical worldview. It's not my opinion. It's not your opinion that counts. It's what God says that counts. Amen. And we believe the Bible is the first and last word on subjects of life, faith, and practice for we who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus believed the scriptures. How many have read the Bible? He quotes the scriptures. He believed he was true. And I believe him also. Our Christian Citizen Sunday today is about celebrating our country's freedom from the British King's tyranny and honoring the idea of our government of the people, by the people, and for the people, a government that is to be the servant of God for the good of the people. That's what our founders had in an idea. They said the government ought to serve God for the good of the people. All laws are moral. I don't know if you figured that out yet, but when somebody writes a law that says what's right and wrong, it's based on someone's morality. And it's either God's morality or it's a selfish or demonic idea, one of the two. It can't be anything in between. Paul talked about government in Romans 13. Romans 13, verse 1. I'll go to verse 13. Romans, I think it's 13:13. Put it up. Let me see if I got the right one. Well, you'll get to it. He says there, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. And some fool tried to tell me that Nazi Germany, when it was ruled by Hitler, that Hitler was the appointed authority of God. I tell you, he was a devil and demonically inspired. He was one of the rulers of the darkness of this world. He was not an authority put in place by God. And anyone who tries to tell you that an authority of God is a person that's ungodly has missed the point of what Paul is writing about. You and I can determine a true God-appointed authority by examining the source of rules or laws they are putting forward for our adoption into our lives. The disciples once had to say, shall we serve men or God? And what was the answer? We serve God. So who were the men trying to be an authority over them? They were false rulers. They were impersonators. They were principles and principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, manipulated by evil spirits to do things and pretend they had authority from God. And the disciples in those days were smart enough to see through them, read through them, and say, we're not doing that. We need to be that smart today. We need to wise up and face the trial and be joyful about it. If you're going to be a cultural warrior, you ought to at least be happy about it. Amen. Nothing worse than an old, grumpy, grumbling cultural warrior, right? He might as well be happy about it. Glory to God. If these rulers that we're evaluating are basing what they're putting forward on God's word and biblical principles, we should be for them. And if they're not, we should resist them. And if we have a choice between biblically based leaders running for office against non-biblically based, or what I call, if you're non-biblically based, you're Antichrist. I mean, split it and just call it what it is. If they're believers basing what they believe and put forward on God's word, then be for them. If they're Antichrist, be against them. True authority gets its authority from God's word. Let me say that again. True authority gets its authority from God's word. All others are what are called rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places, against which we are wrestling. Isn't that what Ephesians 6:12 tells us? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. Well, some of us are wrestling, but I fear some of us are waffling. The Bible doesn't say we waffle against them. It says we wrestle against them. Amen. Wrestling goes all the way back to Genesis 1:27-28. God made us. In 28, he says, I'm going to give you 5 blessings. I'm going to bless you. It says there, we're going to bless these people. And what were the five things he said? Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue. If you're going to subdue, there's going to be a wrestling match. He said that before the devil ever showed up. Subdue and have dominion. And what do people don't want to subdue? They don't want to fight, and they don't want to have dominion. Oh, Brother Ron, we can't go around telling people what to do. You can't force them what to do, but you sure tell them. Because they're in destruction, they're in darkness, they're in confusion, they're on the path to nowhere. You need to be ones that can speak the truth for a redemptive purpose, not because they make you mad, right? I mean, Nancy Pelosi really makes me mad, right? But I can't be vengeful. I can't, you know, it's not right for me to make fun of her and to all that stuff, right? It's a lot of things I'd like to post that I don't, right? So you have to bring yourself into the idea of the arena of ideas and wrestle there. It's time we get off our bottoms and wrestle in the arena of ideas and get involved in causes that promote godliness. We need to know who's sitting in the seats of authority in our schools, our cities, our counties, our states, and our nation. And we need to get people out of there that are ungodly, and we need to set in ones who are godly and let freedom ring. It's the only way it'll work. We've got to get people who understand the righteousness of God in places of authority. And some of you are going to have to run for office. Oh, no. Yes, you are. You're going to have to run for office. If it's school board or drain commissioner, I once thought I probably could write myself in as a drain commissioner and make it, you know. I don't know how much authority I'd have there, but it would be a start. But we need to seriously think about how we're going to get the righteous back in rulership. Ungodly lies promote foolishness, selfishness, and confusion, which brings destruction. You have to get motivated to do something about the mess we're in. You're going to have to really get that down in your spirit, that ungodly lies promote foolishness, selfishness, and confusion, which brings destruction. God have mercy on our beloved United States of America. This is what I pray. Lord, behold the threat of wickedness and grant us power to speak your truth. And my thoughts on this are this. It's just my thinking. I think the liberal progressives are confused about a lot of things. And the only antidote for the lies and confusion is truth. That's the only thing we got going for us. And the truth, you know, Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. In other words, God and the right ways of God. And then everything else is added unto you. So if you want the God kind of life, you're going to have the first thing, which is God and his righteousness. So the truth is the only antidote for lies and confusion. To me, the most outrageous lies and confusion are the progressive liberals' idea, the false idea that government has authority to redistribute wealth among its citizens. They're confused about a lot of things, but probably my four biggest ones. The first one is what I call the role of government confusion. They don't know what government is for. Our founders understood what it was for. They have no clue. And they're confusing people by trying to have the government be God. And it's not working very well. I'll say more about that in a minute. But what are the other ones? Government confusion, infanticide confusion, gender confusion, and what I call invasion confusion. You know, go back to government, role of government. Nowhere in the scripture does God give authority to the state government to redistribute wealth, to take from one citizen and give to another to satisfy their covetousness. You know, free stuff so you'll vote for me is not a God idea. It's just not. And, you know, I wish I could give you a Bible verse, but there isn't one because there isn't one. There's no place in here that God gave any government the authority to do such things. It's just not there. It is not there. Many are confused in thinking that killing babies in the womb is just morally acceptable clinical procedure. And it's just a lie and a deception. They have not read Psalm 139 about who people are in the womb. God clearly spells out who people are in the womb. And it's a people in the womb. And when you kill people in the womb, it's killing people in the womb. And I'm sorry I can't say it any like smoother or nicer or whatever, but it just gets me that we have so much innocent blood spilled in the United States of America by people who are, again, in confusion and foolishness and selfishness. Many are confused about the binary creation of males and females. Genesis 1:27, let's make man in our own image. Let's make a male and female. Male and female created we them, period. That's what it is. The word gender does not appear in the Bible. It's not a Bible word. When you argue with people, it's important to ask them, what is their basis of truth? Because you can argue gender all day long with people and lose. Because that's not the question. The question is, who is the God of the Bible and what does he say? That's the issue. That's the problem, is they don't understand who God of the Bible is. And they want to make up a word. Gender, if you go back to the etymology of words, gender never even meant that stuff that they define it to mean today. They reached back in time, picked up an old word, brought it forward, and redefined what it meant, which is something in between males and females or people who are confused or whatever, so that they will have a language to talk about their lie. It's amazing. And they're getting away with it. And people like you and I who know the truth, we're just kind of watching this, and it's just kind of amazed at how rampant the lie runs and who he lies to. And I know personally of a lot of destruction that has come from this lie. I mean personal destruction from the confusion. And now they want to teach the confusion to our people in our schools. And I say, you know, if you want to be confused and go home and do strange things, okay, but don't teach that to our children, please. It's child abuse. Don't do it. And so they're confused about that. And then lastly, the other one is about, you know, immigration and asylum. Immigration's great, right? We're happy when people immigrate here. I went up to Grand Rapids a couple years ago and was there for the indoctrination and ceremony of new citizens. We had about 50 people coming in as new citizens legally. It was wonderful. And asylum, we picked up a family from Romania when I was in Sioux Falls, and we brought them in. They had been persecuted in Romania, and they were seeking political asylum, and the church helped them. It's a wonderful, wonderful cause. But there's people today that can't discern the difference between an illegal invasion into their country and immigration and asylum, which are a noble cause. We need to stop electing people who are confused. We need to live and promote and vote biblically according to God's word, and we will have the culture of life we desire. Let me say this note, though. Careful how we stand for what we stand for. You know, I like President Trump and what he stands for. But sometimes I can't stand how he stands for what he stands for. You know, just, man, you're just too rough there, you know. And Jesus confronted, man, he was a man of confrontation. He confronted Rome. He confronted the Jews, he confronted rich people, he was a confrontational giant, still is. But the Bible says he had no guile or deceit in his mouth. No guile means he was sincere, honest, straightforward, and frank. To have guile means you're insidious, cunning to attain a goal, crafty, artful, using deception, duplicity. We don't want any part of that stuff, right? We must speak up, but we must not be unkind. You don't speak out of someone annoying you. You speak out of the redemptive purpose. And hear me when I say that. I don't want to make fun of anybody that's confused. That's a really bad idea. But I do want to point out to them that in my understanding of the reading of the scriptures, your confusion and your selfishness and your foolishness will lead you to a life of destruction that I surely don't want to see for you. And that's the only reason I'm speaking up. And when you start shoving your foolish ideas down the throat of my children in schools or into places of business, and you begin to infringe on my freedom to exercise my freedom of religion, I'm going to speak up and push back on you. That's just the way it's going to be. And I don't mean any ill harm to you, your children, or your business, whatever you're doing. But I have to be frank. I have to be straightforward and honest and sincere with you and speak up when I need to. Acts chapter 2, verse 40. Peter's preaching. It talks about him bringing the gospel to these people and people receiving the word of God. And it says, with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. The King James Version says, save yourselves from this perverse generation. I'm saying to you today, we need to save ourselves from the perversion that's upon us. Further on down in Romans 13, when Paul's speaking in verse 11, he says, and do this, knowing the time that now is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light and let us walk properly as in the day, not in reveling or drunkenness, nor in lewdness or lust, nor in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh and to fulfill its lusts. It's time for the church to kind of wake up, come to righteousness, and not stand for unrighteousness. The first place we need to take authority is that great, vast land between our two ears, right? We have to take control of our own thinking and our own life and our own behavior. You can't pull a small picker out of another person's eye when you got a beam in your own eye. So work on yourself and your own family. And then work on your nation and your city. And bring into subjection every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. I'll end with this, Psalm 33, verse 12 through 15. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. I want our nation blessed. I'm not griping and complaining because somebody offended me by what they said. I'm almost at the point, my goodness, I'm almost 72 years old. About everything that could be said has already been said to me. So just go ahead, make your day, you know, whatever you want. But I'm at a place where I don't care what you say. You can believe what you want to believe and do what you want to do. If you don't want to prosper, if you don't want to be in the God kind of life, if you don't want to live the kind of life I live, if you don't want to be a great family, wherein all the families of the earth may be blessed, go have some other kind of family. But I'm in this family of God with all of you. And like Jeremy said, we're sticking together till we all get the success that God has planned for us in our life. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. The Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From the place of his dwelling, he looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. And he fashions their hearts individually. I can't convince you. It has to be the Holy Ghost. It has to be the Spirit of God. It has to be God's word coming to your heart and making a difference. The only reason I'm passionate about the word of God is Jesus showed up and showed me something. This is not my idea. I had a different idea at one time. I can do anything I want as long as it doesn't hurt other people. That was a whole humanist thing. I was rolling in that, man. It made me feel so good. I was smarter than God. I loved more than God loved. Yeah. I was kinder than he is. He's sending people to hell. I didn't believe there was one. I want nobody going there. That was a great thing to believe, right? The only problem is it's a lie. He fashions the hearts individually. And I pray something I said today is sticking with you. And he considers all their works. Would you stand with me, please, in the presence of the Lord? Just stand up in the presence of the Lord. I know this is not a, you know, shouting, rip-roaring hallelujah sermon. Because it's time to wake up. And it's time to get involved. And it's time to have conversations you never wanted to have. You're going to be dragged into conversations you never wanted to have. And you're going to have to stand up for the truth of what's right and what's fruitful. And it's a day for us to celebrate the freedom of the United States of America. And to be free people, free from ungodliness. I'm glad we're free from the tyranny of kings. And I'm ready to take back our country for what it was originally intended. Amen? The Judeo-Christian ethic, moral capitalism, and doing what's right in the sight of God. I believe Roe v. Wade will be overturned in our generation. I believe we're going to stop killing babies on demand. I think there's a divine reversal. I think all the drugs and stuff that's going on, I think there's a generation that's going to get smart enough to just say no and tell them that I'm not doing that stuff. Amen? Nobody should have more fun than Christians. Amen? This is my prayer. If you want to repeat it and pray along with me, you can. I just say this, Lord, give us discerning hearts to know the truth. Give us courage to speak up. Give us wisdom to fight with your heart and passion to see righteousness rule and reign. Help us not to have deceit or guile in our mouth. Help us to release the truth in love and see the redemption your truth can bring. Set me free and help me set others free by the truth of your word. Let freedom ring. Amen. Amen. Turn on somebody and say, you're a soldier in the army of God. You're a soldier in the army of God. Tell them you got a new mama. God himself is going to lead you to victory in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.